you, Lord Jesus, for you are truly calling us, Lord. You are calling us to walk on the water. Thank you, Lord, that tonight, Lord, we just put our feet, Lord. We just put that first step, Lord, to come to you on the water, Lord. Just open our hearts, Lord. And soften our hearts tonight, Lord, to receive you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that our circumstances will not determine where we will walk on this water, Lord Jesus. Right now, Lord Jesus, I just come and just exalt you, Lord. I just come and lift you up, Lord Jesus, and say that you are the King, Lord. You are the Lord, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you that our minds can be just aligned now according to your word, Lord, according to your will, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you quiet our minds tonight, Lord. We bless your name. Amen. Amen. You're welcome here tonight. It's such a privilege for me to be here and share the word tonight, and I'm so excited because if you look at the topic of my message tonight, you'll understand that I really believe that Jesus is going to do something tonight. I'm so excited. My weekend was great. We are a couple of guys. We went to a farm at the vet store. We just had an awesome time of rest. You know, if you ask me what we did, we literally did nothing. It was just so amazing just to spend time together and in the presence of the Lord. So all the guys that were there, I just want to thank you for coming with. I really believe that's a principle that we neglect in our Christian walk. We're not doing that thing of rest and solitude. But it's so rewarding and it's so refreshing. Amen. Okay, so I think I must quickly share something. We're just going to bring feedback off the minibus before we start. Is there slides for that? Okay. Yay. Amper. Ah, daar is hy. Okay, so daar is die Quantum. Vir die wat nie weet nie, dit is regtig 'n lekker ding. I had the privilege of driving in that a lot of time to Africa. I have so much respect for Quantums. You can't believe it because they are 4x4s. They are everything. They can drive literally any places. So just a quick feedback on how the stuff is going. We had 12 donations. You said, you remember Alice had asked us to all just put our faith out and get some money for the minibus. So at the moment we have 12 donations, and one donation is 150,000 rand. I think that's an angel. And then the missions account. So at the moment we are at 178,000 rand. And our faith goal was at the end of this month to be at 200,000. So we still need around 20,000 rand. Just want to thank you for all that people that did donate. If you haven't donated, this is really for a good cause. You know, at the end of the year, you want to go on mission trips, and there's lots of people in Brandwag. We want to just go pick them up. You know, there's hungry people for the word, and so if you haven't donated yet, please pray and then place the money into the missions account. Amen. Okay, so I'm so excited for the word tonight. I feel like a principal standing at the back of this thing. So I want to speak tonight about walking in the Spirit, and mainly that's about walking on water. Okay. And it's so in tune just with the band and everything. So I don't know how to preach this gospel because this is not something I can say. Because it's a spirit that needs to come into it in our lives, otherwise we weren't able to do that. It's that we have to have faith. We just have to put our feet there. And for us, I believe we are not walking on the water. So how do you share something if we are playing there in the pulley keys? So I think we as a congregation, we are really stiff when it comes to to the supernatural and walking in the Spirit. And why do I say that? Is because if you look at the book of Acts and you see when the Spirit was poured out, oh my word, those people were crazy for Jesus. They didn't stand back. They had no fear. They went to the people and the government and the polices and everyone, and they say, listen, I will not keep quiet if it comes to Jesus. They walk so in the Spirit, and where they went, you know, miracles happened, signs and wonders followed them wherever they went, because they were so full of the Spirit. And so I believe really tonight that the Lord just wants to come and stir us up when it comes to the Spirit and regarding the gifts and just the whole thing of the Spirit. Amen. Are you excited? Woo! I'm so excited. But I don't know how to share this, but I'll try. Okay. So 2 weeks ago we went to Potchefstroom, and all the people, that was really awesome. And then after the weekend I stayed behind, I stayed with Stellenbosch over that week, and I was just stirred, you know, in my heart, a lot. The Lord just came and really told me, Jacobus, but why aren't you obeying the word? Why aren't you obeying what I'm telling you to do? And why are you so neglectant? Is that the right? Away the Engels. Why are you so slow when it comes to the stuff of Christ and walking into the Spirit? Because I have given you the fullness. Turn to the person next to you and say, you have received the fullness of God and the Spirit. So why, if we have received the fullness, do we not walk in the fullness? Can someone answer that, please? Fear. Okay, there's lots of stuff. But then anyway, so we were at Poch, and you know what we did? I don't know who of you heard of treasure hunting before. That's really cool. The main play in the game is the Holy Spirit, because he's like, yes. So you basically come together and you pray and you ask Lord, you ask the Holy Spirit, please reveal to me people or hurts or sickness or anything, emotional sicknesses of people, and show me their clothes, their shoes, their whatever they wear in that day. And then the Holy Spirit comes and like, shabam, he shows his everything. Like, and we had so many testimonies. I remember the one day I saw a girl, you know, she had blonde hair on, and her back was like this, and she had a white shirt. And the Lord told me like what I have to minister to her about and everything. And I was like, oh yes, Lord, this is exciting. So I was there on Poch campus. It's not that beautiful, like bloom just for. But anyway, so I was there and I walked on campus, and I'm really looking for this girl, because I know the Holy Spirit, you know, you can hear his voice. Hallelujah. God is not dead. He's alive. So I heard the voice of the Spirit, and when I found the girl, I was like, wow, it really happened. I can't believe it. I actually saw this girl. And then I went to her, and you know, it was such a divine appointment. And the girl was freaked out completely. She couldn't understand or believe that I told her this morning when I prayed, I saw you and I saw what you're wearing. And I took notes on my phone, you know, and I showed her the notes on my phone and says, look here, read, like, exactly. And she was just completely blown away. You know what? I believe many of us, we say we are Christians. Amen. I believe everyone here is a Christian. But there's a scripture in Timothy 1 or 2, I don't know. Anyway, it says, we do not only have a form of, there's people that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. Okay. And all of us have a form of godliness, but we do not walk in the power. And that's something we cannot do. And that's so amazing, because I cannot, with my power, I can't do anything. I can't pray for the sick. I can't make the dead to live. I can't do anything. It's only the power of God. And I trust tonight that God or Jesus, God will release that power over us tonight, that we will truly walk in that. Okay. Because we don't want to be cute, fluffy, Facebook high five Christians. Okay. I don't want to be that. I want to be like the people who are in Acts. You know, when they just, like Peter, his shadow just fall on, his shadow, like, the shadow fell on the guy next to him and he got healed immediately. No, why? Where is that today in the church? Why don't we see that? Why don't we hear about these things? You go on missions and away, then everything happens there on missions because your mind is just changed, and we have really to change that also in our daily walk, you know. Every day is a mission. Every day you are on the mission field for God. You're busy fighting this army. You're in an army. And it's not just when I go on Porch or to Lesotho or Mozambique and now I pray the whole day in tongues and I worship in the morning and afternoon and night and read Bible and then God pitches. You know, He can do it every day and He wants to use us in that way. But we have to step on the water before He can. And we are so comfortable in the boat. We just want to chill in that boat and say, no, Jacobus can do that. You know, he's like working at the church and he knows the stuff. or Alistair can do that. But no, guys, I want to tell you, we are all exactly equal before God. We all have received the same amount of measure of godliness and power as everyone else in the world. Okay. You have the same as Angus Buchan and all these amazing guys that we look to up. And, you know, I was just the one day, because I always, you know, every time you hear an awesome preacher preach, you say in your heart, you say, yo, I want to be like that guy one day, you know. Have you ever heard someone like, maybe you like Oprah that much, you say, I want to be like Oprah one day. Who wants to be like Oprah? No one. We want to be like Jesus. Yes, okay? That's why we're on earth. We are here to be like Christ. That's why we are Christians. Christians. Christ-like. Okay? So, if we want to be like Christ, we have to do things in our life. We will not only fall out of the sky and say, whoops, yeah, okay, Jacobus, no, Jesus. There's stuff in our lives that we have to do. Basic disciplines, basic principles we have to do. You know, to be a disciple of Christ is to go against the stream. It's not to go with the stream. And we as a church are going so along the stream. We are just, hey, yay, what's Barabbas? Away, lakke. But we have to do radical things in our life if we want to be like Christ. Christ was radical. Amen? He wasn't here on earth just chilling it out. No, man, he feed 5,000 people with fish and bread and he did crazy things. But, whoa, okay. So, in order for us to walk in the Spirit, we have to align our lives in the Spirit. We have to position ourselves in the Spirit in order for us to walk in the Spirit. Okay. I thought, I'm sorry for the Bible school second years, but most of these things I taught on Tuesday as well. But this was just so in my heart. And oh, this week was so, it was really a tough week for me. Because I was just, the whole week I was with this thing in my heart, you know. Lord Jesus, how do we do this? It's so, is it not just like a scripture, step in, step two, step three. But there isn't. It's faith, you know. It's something you have to believe in. It's something you have to completely, you know, if you walk on the water, in the natural, it looks completely impossible. But in the Spirit, that's why the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit is completely impossible if you want to do it in the natural. You cannot do that. What now? Huh? Impossible. Did I say impossible? I'm sorry. Luckily you understood. But yeah. If you want to walk in the Spirit, in the natural, it is completely impossible. Okay? Because you can only walk in the Spirit, in the Spirit. So, we know this story in Matthew 14, from verse 22. We're going to read it together. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Wow. And that's such a beautiful story. You know, there's so many songs written about this and so many things, but this is so significant. And when I saw that they used this in the Bible school too, I was so amazed, you know, because this is like the precise exactly scripture we can use when it comes to when walking on the water. So there's a few things, I believe, in order for us to walk on water, there's a few things that need to happen. The first thing is our heart must be right. We need to have a circumcised heart, okay? And it's so cool that Alistair spoke about that last week, about a consecrated heart. Okay, and in Romans 2 verse 29, they speak about what it is to have a circumcised heart. A person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart by the Spirit, not the letter. That man's praise is not from men, but from God. So basically, to have a circumcised heart means that your heart is pure, your heart is holy, your heart is truly set apart for Jesus. Okay. When you circumcise something, you really cut it away, and it's gone. It's like, yeah, okay. So you have to be pure in that. And I believe this is the one thing where we struggle to walk in the Spirit, because if we don't have a circumcised heart, what do we have? We have a hardened heart. Okay. Ooh. That's not a nice thing to have. And I'm real here tonight. The Lord told me last week, he said, "Jacobus, your heart, there's stuff in your heart that you don't deal with, and it's causing you to become hard. Your heart is becoming hard." And I was like, "Oh no, Lord. Oh, what now? Now moet ek meer bid, now moet ek meer Bible lees, now moet ek kerk toe gaan. And then I must worship, because I don't want to get a hardened heart." Because you know who had hardened hearts? The Israelites, you know? In Exodus, when they got just out of the Red Sea, with the story of Moses, when they got out of the Red Sea and they didn't have water, they complained, everything. So the Lord really made their hearts harden, because they didn't believe in him. Then God will make a miracle. Then he will do this. Then he will open the Red Sea. Oh my word. And then still they will not believe in him. They will question him again, and they will not. So to have a hardened heart is really something we have to look out for. And there's a scripture in Proverbs that also say that we have to guard our hearts above all, because that determines your life. Okay. In our heart is where our life is. It's who we are. It's our passion. It's how we can determine to love Jesus, to worship him, to follow him. We choose it in our hearts. Okay. So our hearts must be circumcised. Our hearts must be set apart for Jesus and him alone. And I want to tell you that there's stuff in our lives, you know, that really comes and harden our hearts. Like sexual sins. Sexual sins destroys our intimacy with Jesus. And it really causes us to get a hardened heart. And we don't want to do that. And I want to say that, yeah, as long as, and we can test this. We can test our hearts or see if we have a heart or not by the following. As long as we don't hate evil and sin, we don't have circumcised hearts. Can I say that again? As long as we don't hate evil and sin and the stuff of this world, our hearts is not circumcised. And the thing about the hardened heart is we lose our consciousness for sin. Normal sin, you know, the sins that you just do every day, like over a year, you won't even feel bad anymore of doing that. You won't even feel that whole thing of the conviction of sin, because your heart becomes hard. And that's why the scripture that says that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts. So we have to have the peace of God to guard our hearts, to stand in front of our hearts, because the devil wants to come and harden our hearts so that we will not be aligned to Jesus, so that we cannot walk on water. Okay. Because I want to say this, if you struggle to worship, if you struggle to read Bible, if you struggle just for, you know, sometimes we lose just that excitement of our joy and of our salvation. And that's really things we have to go and ask Jesus, come and show me. Come and show me, is my heart still pure? Is it still circumcised for you alone? And Alistair said, so I'm not going to repeat everything that he said, but we have to have a consecrated heart if you want to step out on that water. Okay, we have to. Amen. Do you understand? Okay, yes. Now the second thing I believe is our hearts need to be willing. Okay? Peter was willing, alright? He said there, Lord, command me to come. In Matthew, he said, Lord, command me to come. He was willing to go on the water. He was not like the rest of the disciples, just sitting in the boat and just being so afraid of the storms and the water and everything. They just sat on the boat. No, he said, Lord, command me to come. So his heart was willing to go. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12, it says, For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has done and not according to what he does not have. Wow, that's cool, eh? So the Lord just wants a willing heart. It's not about what you can do, what you can't do. It's just about having a willing heart. All right. So, so we need to desire the spiritual gift, and we have to ask for that. We have to ask for the spiritual gift to walk in the Spirit, and we do that through prayer. Okay, so prayer. Walk in the Spirit, you cannot do that without prayer. That goes hand on hand. They go together. Amen. Alright. So some of us, and I believe some of us here tonight, we are really content by just sitting in the water, and you feel, no, I can't do this. I don't know how to walk on water, and this is not for me, and I just want to be a Christian. Leave me out. I don't want to do all this hectic stuff. But this is our inheritance, guys. This is how we can bring kingdom and heaven down to earth. That's the only way, because there's power in walking in the Spirit. It's not a fleshly thing. It's not just a cute Christian thing. It's when power comes to earth, when God uses us. Amen. Just an example in Porch, you know, so many things, because Porch has really a huge stronghold of religion. There's such a stronghold of religion over that place. And the Lord told us, but the only thing that will break that is my power, is when my kingdom starts manifesting through power. And so there many stuff happened there. So, it is always a risk for us to step out into the water, into the Spirit. Okay. So, another thing I believe that our hearts, so I speak a lot about hearts, the third thing I believe is that our hearts must be childlike. Okay. We cannot look at the circumstances and the fears and the troubles of life. We need to have childlike hearts in order for us to walk on the water. In Matthew 18, verse 3, it says, and assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Okay, so if we think of children, you know, they don't have any fear. When you tell them to jump, they will jump. If you tell them to kick, they will kick. If you tell them to do this, they will do that. Because they don't have any fear whatsoever when it comes to, to things that they don't understand or that they don't grasp at that moment. Okay. So they just go out and they say, yes, I want to do this, and they do it. And then sometimes they fail, but they just take that leap. And and to walk in the Spirit is something that we really have to take. We go out of our comfort zones. It's not a thing of being in the comfort zone. Okay. It's not comfortable when you walk on the stormy waters like Peter did. But the Lord still called him to go out. It's not a comfortable thing. Okay. That's why the Holy Spirit is called Comforter. Because we will need comfort. Okay. So, it's not a comfortable thing. It's really something we have to go out of our comfort zone. Because the Holy Spirit can comfort us. Hallelujah. Okay. So, a key for us also really to walk onto the water is being obedient. To be completely obedient. If the Lord tells you, then you do that. Right. There's really some of us that really have to just be obedient to the Word of God. Not thinking anymore what our mind says and our heart says, but literally just go on to what the Word says. And the Lord says we have to walk. We have to walk in the Spirit. That's something that Jesus told us to do. Okay, in Galatians 5 verse 16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, let's all read that scripture. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay. Many people, you know, long in my life as well, I struggled with many lusts of the flesh and stuff. The way out of that is by walking in the Spirit. Okay. Because when you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay. So, we have to sometimes really just step out, you know. In my life, if I can just think of times in my life where I really was so uncertain if the Lord told me to do this now. Okay. You know, how many times a day you walk past someone and you just have this desire in your heart to go and pray for that person or just go and say something to that person, and immediately there's other voice in your mind saying, no, you're busy, you have to go now, you have to go to class, you know. So there's really sometimes in my life as well, where if I didn't take the chance, that if I haven't been obedient to what the Spirit is leading me to do now, then many people, a lot of people will not have that encounter with Jesus. So it's always worth the risk to take. It's always worth it to take the risk. And just to say, I feel like this is here, what. All right. Okay, don't be afraid. Okay. And I believe that Peter had a strong heart. His heart was strong. He didn't have a weak heart. Okay. In Ephesians 6 verse 10, we read, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Okay, so we know when Peter walked on the water, and he took his eyes off Jesus, immediately what happened? He sank. He fell into the water. Because his eye wasn't fixed on Jesus. And he saw the waves. He saw the ocean. And that's why he fell. So the devil will always try to move us back into our flesh. Okay. That is the devil's main purpose almost every day. If you think of that. To move us back into our flesh. To move us back into our own desires. Into our circumstances. The devil uses our circumstances like the wind and the waves. With Peter, he uses that to come and distract us, to try to make us fall. Okay, but how do we overcome that? How do we still keep our eyes on Jesus? Okay. Yeah, let's read 1 Timothy 1 verse 18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. So we have to do warfare. It's not when we walk on the, when we walk in the spirit, when we walk on the water, we have to constantly do warfare. And how do we do that? By the prophecies or the scriptures. And we should do warfare by the prophecies or scripture God has given us, so that we remain focused on Him and on course. Okay, so practically, when we are in the Spirit and the circumstances come and the waves come, then we quote scripture. We say, this is what the Word of God says, and we will not fall because this is what God says. Okay, so that is how we keep our eyes on Jesus, is by walking, by prophesying, by speaking scripture over our bad circumstances. Okay, because the spirit of prophecy is a testimony of Jesus Christ, and it will magnify Christ and prepare us for what lies ahead. When we are walking in the spirit, we should not get distracted by miracles, and we don't worship angels or other servants of God. Okay, we cannot get, when Peter walked on the water, because every step that he took, imagine you are walking on water. Every step that you take is a miracle. And that's why when we walk in the Spirit, that every step that we take must be a miracle. Okay, and that's why we cannot be focused on the miracles, because if we are focused on the miracles every day, we will worship and praise Jesus and go crazy for Him. And we will lose our focus. All right, but that's also important. But yeah, we have to keep our eyes on the destination. On where we are going, and we have to keep our eyes in front. Okay, are you still with me? All right, so we must set our minds on the things of the Spirit and not on the things of this earth. That's what Colossians 3 also said. If you have been raised with Christ, set your mind on the things above and not on the things of this world. All right. Yeah. But we also have to understand that in order for us to walk in the Spirit, we have to deal with the fear in our life. Scripture says we do not have a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Okay. If Peter had fear, you will not be able to walk on the water. We will not be able to walk in the Spirit. Because if I walk with fear, then there's not an open river in me flowing. Because it's blocking me from completely in surrendered life. Because I walk in fear, right? And the Spirit cannot work where there is fear in our life. So we have to understand and we have to believe that, listen, I don't have a spirit of fear. I don't have to be afraid of saying this to this person or pray for this guy for healing or do things like that. Okay, because we do not have that spirit. All right. And then I also believe the last thing I believe is that we really need a heart full of worship in order for us to walk on the Spirit. Okay. And we love worship. And immediately when Peter came back into the boat, they all said, truly that you are the Son of God. All the disciples said, truly you are the Son of God. Because it is God that gives us the grace to walk in the Spirit. Ultimately Him that gives us that grace so that we can walk in the Spirit. And every step is a miracle, then God should get the glory for it. So everything we do will always be to honor and glorify Jesus. We worship Him and we do not get deceived and think it's our own ability. We cannot think it's our own ability if we do nice, cool stuff in the Spirit. Amen. Isaiah 26 verse 3 said, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Right. So it's a promise of the Lord that he will keep us in perfect peace if our mind is stayed on him and we walk with him and we trust him. So prayer and worship is keys for us to truly walk in the Spirit. We cannot do it without that. Continuously worship Jesus, walking in the Spirit, praying. That is how we can really worship Jesus. So, yeah, I believe that the Spirit leads us. And where does the Spirit lead us? I believe there's 8 things where the Spirit leads us to, and it's freedom. Spirit leads us into a place of freedom in our lives when we come to meet Jesus. The first thing He comes to do, He frees us. He frees us from the world, from the stuff of this world. We are no longer slaves of the world, but we are free from that. Okay. He leads us in a life of holiness. That is the Spirit who is leading us that. Taking away all the bad things in our lives, that sin that we have done before we came to Christ. Removes that out of our life so that we can live a holy life because God is holy and He has set us apart to be holy as well. Okay, the Spirit leads us to read the Word of God. The Spirit leads us to bear fruit. We know all the fruits of the Spirit. Love, patience, kindness, self-control, compassion. You know, that is a fruit of the Spirit. If we are led by the Spirit, we will walk in the world and there will be fruit in our lives. And Scripture says in Luke that a tree will be known by the fruit that he is bearing. Okay, so what fruit are you bearing? Does people see that you are led by the Spirit? Because that is the first thing we can test someone by, if he is really walking in the Spirit, is by the fruit that he is producing in his life. Okay, the Spirit leads us to pray. The Spirit, it is the Spirit in us that makes us assured of our salvation. Romans 8 says that we have received the Spirit of adoption that cries out, Abba Father. And the next scripture said, that same Spirit bears witness of our spirit that we are sons of God. Amen. So the Spirit gives us that assurance that we are truly sons of God. And the Spirit leads us to witness, and then ultimately so that we have really, that we have joy in our life. That is the Spirit that gives us that joy. Amen. Okay. So, like I said, I can just give you what I had tonight. I can just give it to you. This is what I really feel on my heart to share. But ultimately, it is the Spirit. It is the Spirit that can change our hearts. It can truly bring us to that place of walking on the water. Because we know we are no longer under the law. We do not have to keep. There's nothing. That's why it's a difficult thing. It's nothing we can do. All we need just to have is a willing heart. We just need to have a childlike heart. We just, and this is something we have to allow the Spirit to come and do in our hearts, you know, in order for us to truly walk in this, into the fullness of God. So I want to end off by reading this last scripture in Romans 8. It says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay. And I said to the Bible school students, when we walk in the flesh, it's like we are in a boxing ring, you know? WWE, that ring. So it's you constantly fighting with the other guy, punching him and hitting him and kicking him. And eventually, that guy just comes with a huge punch and you fall. And then you have to stand up again and you have to start punching again. You have to start fighting again to come into victory, to come into this. You know, how long, many times in our life, we constantly fighting to come into victory, to be released from this thing and from this and from this, and to step into freedom and stuff. But when we walk in the Spirit, it's like we're standing in a waterfall, you know? We're standing under a waterfall and we're just looking up, and we are just, nothing we can do, we just receive this water. It's something that comes from above. So the key for that, truly, to walk in the Spirit is allowing the river, the Holy Spirit, to flow through us. And to come to a place where we really discover that, listen, there's nothing I can do anymore. We have to tell our mind sometimes and listen, I cannot figure this out with my mind. You just believe and have faith. Okay. And there is, we have to do that. We really have to come to a place of that, of complete surrenderedness. Because that is part of our hearts being consecrated to Jesus. It's coming to a place where we are surrendered and we believe in what he tells us to do. Okay, so for us tonight, while the band comes up tonight, I'm really challenged by this word. Yo, guys, as I'm standing here, I've really been convicted a lot about this. We say we want to change the world. We say we want to change coffees, our residences. But are we? If you look at your life, you know, the world today with all the news stuff going on, it's really crazy. It's really hectic. But the Spirit has never changed. The power of God have never left us. We can still walk in that. Amen. And the only way that we can truly walk in the Spirit is by getting out of the boat. By just giving that first step of faith. Believing that the Spirit that is in you is the same Spirit that was in Jesus. It's the same Spirit that is in John Bevere or that cool guys, you know. It's the same Spirit that is also in them. It's the same Spirit in you. But we can determine when we put our feet on the water. You know, Peter asked Jesus and said, Lord, if I have to come, tell me to come. And then Jesus said, come out of the boat. And we can also tonight say, Lord, I want to come out of this boat of just being a Christian, not, you know, just making it a thing on Facebook, you're a Christian. I'm tired of that, guys. I'm tired of just being a normal Christian and just walking around and don't have love for the people, or, you know, just being in my own life and in my own bubble. I'm so tired of that. You know, and it's something in my whole life like I've tried to change that, you know. You know, I've done the stuff. I made the list. I've had the reminders. I've done all that stuff. At the end of the day, it's something that must come and change in our hearts. It's not something that we have to change in our minds. It must start with our hearts. It must start where we come to a place of complete surrenderedness. A place where we truly just come and bring our hearts and say, Lord Jesus, this is all I have. This is all I can give you is my heart. It's nothing else, and that's all that He wants us to do. He wants our hearts. He wants us to be willing. He wanted Peter to walk on the water. That's why he came. That's why he walked on the water. He wants us to walk on the water. And we can. Tonight, I believe that the Lord really wants to come. And, you know, he wants to take us on the water. But it's going to be... You know, and I don't want to make just another cute altar call and blah, blah, blah. Sweep julle op met al my emosionele mooi woorde wat ek sê. This is something between you and the Lord. If you're not convicted, if you're not really, I want to say, if you're not really, if you don't have a desire to walk on the water, then must be something in your heart. Must be something you truly long. We are here to see the kingdom of God come. That's why we are sons. That's why we are daughters of God. We are not just made to enjoy the world. If we pick up our cross daily, we have to die daily. That's what Jesus said. Daily pick up your cross and follow me. Daily. It's something we have to do daily. It's not something we have to do once in a month or twice in a year when we go on a mission trip. So I trust that tonight that the Lord will really just come and check our hearts and align our hearts. And while we were worshiping, I just saw a picture of us, you know, massas water, lots of water. And we were all like swinging on these ropes above the water. We are really tired because we don't just have the courage to let go of the rope. Because what if I go? You know, what will happen? But sometimes we don't have to know what will happen. Because that is why we have faith. So, yeah, while we all stand tonight, I just want us to sing that song again, you know, of the oceans. And ask the Spirit tonight to come and really show you if you are willing to walk on the water. And if you are want to get out of the boat tonight, we want to pray for that. We can pray for that together tonight. So I'm also tonight responding for this ministry to come out of the boat. To be real, you know. To be all amazing Christian. Okay.